As reporter Shane Harris suggested a few moments ago, it's not as though ISIS operates out of some situation room full of servers that if they went down, it would shut the organization down. At least vulnerability to cyber attack is not the impression of journalist and writer Jürgen Todenhofer.
I lived with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes we slept on the same floor. There was just a Kalashnikov between us.
For 10 days in December of 2014, Todenhofer was embedded with ISIS, and the impression he got was of a band of well-armed criminals who love money, women, and talking big about their plans to take on the world. After months of Skype negotiations and a public guarantee from ISIS that he would return home alive, he went undercover.
The reason why I believed in this guarantee was ISIS wants to be seen as a state. They gave the guarantee as a state. It would be a defeat for them if everybody would say they think that they are a state and they give a public promise and they don't stick to this promise. And therefore, I thought I would come back alive.
What is it like to live under ISIS? And how could you be sure that what they were showing you was any kind of a valid indication of what actually goes on day to day?
They didn't say what I should see. I had a list with 15 points or 20 points. And out of this list, they gave me the opportunity to see, let's say, 70% of the things I asked to see. I said, I want to go to police station. I want to see a jail. I want to walk in the streets, in the souks. I want to speak with people in the street, and I want to speak without the ISIS fighters. And I wanted to see, for example, also a hostage, and I saw a hostage. And so I made the program. They didn't make the program.
Mosul has lots of English and German in it. Were there people who spoke to you saying that they are in fear of criticizing the government or in fear of making known their religious proclivities, whether they're Shiite or Sunni, that sort of thing?
The Shias had been already eliminated, killed, and there were no more Shias, there were no more Christians. The Christians had left, they had the opportunity to stay, but they didn't want to live under the dictatorship of terrorists. So there were only Sunnis, and I had the opportunity to speak in the streets, and sometimes somebody gave me a sign. So the ISIS fighter said, you know, the economy is working and running, and with his hand, the guy who was beside me gave me a sign that he didn't share this opinion. So people are not crazy. They would not say with a loud voice ISIS is terrorism because they would be killed. So they tolerated ISIS. But these things are changing now slowly. Now they are very angry. There is an opportunity now to make something together with the Sunnis of Mosul, Ramadi, etc. There could even be a revolution against ISIS.
We're talking with Jürgen Todenhofer, who was embedded with ISIS in December of 2014. This is The Takeaway. During the time that you were, I presume, finishing up your galleys, the New York Times ran this very detailed piece about the extent to which ISIS supports a kind of infrastructure for sex slavery so that fighters can have access to women sexually. Did you see any evidence of organized sex slavery as has been described in the New York Times and other publications?
No, and I only want to say the things I have seen. They admit that they have introduced slavery. And slavery of girls means that these girls, if somebody owns a slave, he can do whatever he wants with this slave. That's what they think. And I have had long discussions about slavery because it's a shame that a terrorist organization thinks that they are modern if they introduce slavery. But they told me, you know, we have slavery officially, you have it secretly. But nevertheless, I think it's horrible what they do with, especially with the Yazidi girls. It's just horrible.
Would you describe these folks as actually religious?
I would say that they are, as far as Islam and Quran is concerned, they are illiterates. They have no idea. I discussed with them the Quran. I read the Quran three times. I'm a Christian. and they know certain parts of the Qurans which are dealing with the war between Mecca and Medina. And I confronted them with other parts talking about justice, talking about mercy, and they just didn't know anything about. But nevertheless, I would say they think that they are believers. But I'm completely sure that the leadership of the so-called Islamic State doesn't believe in Islam. They are power guys, very, very tough power guys, but not really Muslims.
You know, there's a lot of talk about what's going to be the end game in Syria. But as you spoke with leadership in ISIS and the individuals that you got close to, should they be at a peace table to resolve what is going on in Iraq and Syria under any circumstances?
No.
No.
No, I'm a friend of negotiations, but not with these terrorists. They think that they will be a part of negotiations. They told me, and it was told to them by their leadership, that one day there would be negotiations, but I told them nobody will talk to you. And we have to defeat them, we have to eliminate them. But I think that our strategy to bombard cities is not the right strategy. There are other ways. We have to stop the delivery of weapons from Saudi Arabia and Qatar to the extremist rebels in Syria. I saw ISIS with German weapons we gave to the Kurdish Peshmergas. At the end, the machine guns were in the hands of ISIS. Then we should close the border between Turkey and the so-called Islamic State. It was too easy to cross this border. I had to run, and it was difficult to run, but it, nevertheless, I'm 75. It was too easy to cross this border. And the third point, which I think is the most important point, ISIS, for example, in Iraq can only live because it's supported by a discriminated part of the country. So if we would have a national reconciliation in Iraq, then ISIS would be like a fish without water. And the same is true for Syria. If we succeed, for example, in Geneva in a national reconciliation, then ISIS is isolated. ISIS is defeated.
Well, it's great to have your insights, and thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Jürgen Todenhofer is author of My Journey into the Heart of Terror, 10 Days in the Islamic State. It's out April 12th.